Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know what I can't see. Who's under there? I want to talk about this endless sea.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Masked Singer Wrap Up Podcast, the number one vibes podcast on the network. Hope y'all are doing well. Back here today to talk about season 11, episode 9, aka the finals of Group B, I believe, not question mark. I'm firmly saying this. I'm, of course, your host, Puya the Coffee Mug, Zan Bikili. And with me is my favorite co-host, the one and only, the number one, Liana the Q-tip Boris. Liana, how are you doing today?
Okay, I know that you're not supposed to put Q-tips in your ear, but I'm sorry. It feels so good.
No, I'm way too paranoid to do it. I'm too scared.
Really?
I'm
really?
Scared of the ramifications.
Because if you ram the Q-tip.
Yeah, that's
your,
I was
eardrum.
I'm happy you caught my pun there. I clearly was doing this. Yes.
Pun intended. Oh my God. That was actually so funny. I need to schedule us to get our eye exams. And on the website, it was like, as you can see, parentheses, pun intended. And I was like, we're going here. That's what did it.
You
for
picked
me.
Our eye doctor based off a pun?
You best believe I did.
Oh my God.
As you can see, it's not even a good pun either, but I appreciated it, and I appreciated that they acknowledged it. Okay, so yes, that's what we're going with.
All right, well, good to know.
Yeah, anyway, I'm doing well. I'm drinking a Mountain Dew Zero Sugar Baja Blast that we got a few weeks ago that I have not drank. I'm enjoying it. I enjoy it. I enjoy a good Baja Blast. They bottled it. So now I can enjoy it at home without eating Taco Bell. So I'm having a good day.
Yeah. And if I said something that was very funny, you would do a Baja Ha 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 Blast.
Is that what they call it?
It just bodes well for me that you laughed at that. So
yeah,
we're going to be okay.
I mean, I laughed at, as you can see, so it's a pretty low bar. I don't know if you should be applauding yourself for that, but yes. Uh-oh. Okay.
All right, you're too into it. You're too into it now.
Well, I know, but the problem is like when I like start to do something and then I laugh at it and then I laugh at the fact that I'm laughing and that's just sort of this cycle that gets out of hand.
Right.
But anyway. Yeah, so Masked Singer.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Soundtrack happened. To my life episode, which yeah. I swear we did this once this season, but I'm probably thinking of last season.
No, we did the singing in the shower one.
Oh, yeah. Clearly a different theme. Yes.
Yes. But also, again, very similar and gives a lot of options in terms of what you can pick. I like that the group performance was to Bon Jovi's It's My Life. I thought that was pretty good. And actually, this might have been my favorite group performance of the three. The second group performance we saw from Group A, I thought was also quite good. So maybe it's a toss up between the two of those. But yeah,
ironically, this Group C, the first one we saw, is the one that has two finalists.
I know, right? Which is crazy because I remember thinking that as a group, like that group was overall quite solid. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the actual group performances, I think the other two groups did a better job. And I think that this was also the first instance of really starting off on this, like, what is my actual opinion about Gumball? Because we'll get to everything Gumball related. But like the group performance here, again, one of my comments I wrote down is Gumball's really good.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I'm sort of battling with this like initial perception of him mixed with what he then is actually bringing to the table in these later episodes.
But it's anyways, a very good point to raise, honestly. Mm-hmm. Because for me, you know, I came in hot. I was like, I feel like the Gumball is making it through not on merit, but on the clue package being a little more sympathy driven. And then middle of the podcast, as I'm listening back to the performance, I'm like, yeah, no, I think the Gumball has merit. I think the added layer, Liana, and for me, this is true, and it might be for you, I'm not sure, is that I feel like I had kind of come into the Group B from the beginning, from the first time we saw them, and I said, yep, the beats are progressing, and that's mm-hmm. that. And mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what's driven us to this state where we are like pleasantly surprised by the Gumball. I think it's because we had already written off Gumball because of the beats.
I think not just because of the beats, but also because the group devalued him. They put him in the SmackDown. And oftentimes we see this where even if there's a performer that's decent, but if they just, the show just decides they're going to be the third place finisher, then it's like, okay, they're just the third place finisher, kind of like no matter what they can do. Mm. And so I do feel like that was also kind of part of it, but it's crazy how much the first impression really genuinely matters, because it definitely set up my expectations for the rest of the group and my expectations even for this episode. I almost had to check myself. Like, okay, wait, okay, do you actually think that, or is that just because you have an affinity for the beats? You know what I mean? And we'll get into all those details with the groups, but yeah, it was a wild episode. I also can't believe that we're done now with all of the individual group stages. So we're going into, I guess, the semifinals and then the finals after this, I assume.
I feel like we looked this up the other week, and it's either we're going from 4 to 3 to 2, or we're going to go from 4 to 3 and then from 3 to 1.
Right. I think I looked up the finale date, and I think that we like counted backwards from that. But I don't remember that conversation at all. So you're welcome.
Well, you are undefeated. Now we talk about the beats. Clue package time, Liana. It's time to talk clues here. Cloodle doodle do.
Oh, cloodle do. Okay, so I looked up, before we talk about Cloodle Doo, I looked up the, what episode was this?
Group episode B. 9.
Yeah, episode 9. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Episode 9.
Yeah, or no, or yeah.
Okay, so Group B finals. So you're going to be real pretty pleased to hear this. So Group B finals was obviously this past week. Then next week, we're getting the quarterfinals, which is the final four. The week after that, there appears to be a double episode of Road to the Semifinals, and then the semifinals, and then the finale the week after. So the finale is May 22nd. I think that, isn't that the same week as Survivor?
I believe so.
So
fun.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really dragging that bad boy out, but all right, sure, whatever. And no beats. Ugh. All right. Well, let's talk about the beats. Clue package. So we've already gotten a lot, I feel like, from the beats and their clue packages, but obviously enough that we've been able to figure it out that it's Clay Aiken and Ruben Studdard. And so they sort of continue here about telling their more about their story, like how they each became fathers and talking about like a moment in their life. We saw a visual clue of the banana split, like the costume that we've seen previously. There was also a visual clue with a clock that I think had the time was 1:42.
Okay, it was 1:42. I thought it was 1:41.
Okay. So, well, that's the thing. I mean, it's not a digital clock, so it's tough to tell the exact minute when there's not the little tick marks. And it was at an angle, so it was really difficult to see. So yeah, 141, 142, 143, like somewhere in that range. There was also a knight in shining armor. And then again, the whole just narrative was all about like their kids. So there wasn't a lot of verbal clues. It was mostly the visual clues. And then just about them becoming parents and like how I assume Clay Aiken was like, I didn't think that that would happen for me. And then about teaching their kids to drive and all that fun stuff. So yeah, just like stories about them being dads.
Yeah, they said that they chose a powerful song for like the single moment in their life, and it was when they became fathers. And then the song ends up being, the performance is One Moment in Time by Whitney Houston. What did you think of this song choice?
I thought it was such a good performance. It was it almost felt, because I look at the monster as almost what I perceive to be like the perfect song choice options going into the finale, like going throughout the course of Masked Singer. And one of the penultimate performances is like that emotional performance. Like it was Sam Smith, Stay With Me. Mm-hmm. So this felt like, okay, this is that emotional performance for them. And to do Whitney Houston is not easy for them to not only do it, but to be able to harmonize. And it was just them on stage, right? All the focus on them. The purple lighting was really cool. I just really, really loved this performance. And they're so cute.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And I feel like I've said this before, it's always such a cheat code when you can come in and harmonize with somebody else, because it elevates the song, honestly. Mm-hmm. And that combination of having two powerful voices and nailing a Whitney Houston cover and kind of hitting us in the feels a little bit, I felt like this was a great recipe for their potential ticket to the finals or to the quarterfinals.
Quarterfinals. Yes. Punching their ticket to the quarterfinals.
Yes.
As we learned. Yeah, I completely agree. The one moment that I did kind of giggle about that had absolutely nothing to do with their performance, but was when the sparks started flying from the ceiling. Mm-hmm. I watched this like after we had watched the Survivor episode where Kenzie's hair catches on fire. So yes. I was like, oh no. I was like traumatized they're gonna catch on fire, despite the fact that we've had so many performances with sparks before, so it's not out of the ordinary like at all whatsoever. But anyway, that made me laugh. So genuinely nothing bad to say about this. I thought it was so good.
Yeah, and always a great shout to have the openings performance be a good one for the episode, and I feel like they delivered here. So then we do get a clue, an extra clue, as we do, and it is a vinyl record clue. Mm-hmm. But as is pretty much the move now for the final time we see a group, it is the which judge or Nick are you linked to? Who do you have a connection with?
Right. Yeah. Who do you have a connection with on like in the show? And this one was the connection to Nick. So I believe, I don't know, again, what like I think the actual clue was just Nick's, it's always good to see you, we should grab a drink together sometime. I don't think that the name on the record was A Wild Night. And then
Beats with Nick.
Yeah, the title on the actual sleeve was Fresh Beats with Nick. The title on the actual record was A Wild Night. And then the verbal clue was Nick, always good seeing you, we should grab a drink together. So look, I just think they know Nick and that they've hung out with Nick. At the end of the day, I think that that's what the clue is supposed to mean.
Yeah. Do you sound like there's implications?
No, because sometimes there's like puns or there's some type of wording that can give away a clue that we've seen previously and with these other clues. But in this case, I don't think that it's anything deeper than that.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely on the money there. I also didn't think there was anything deeper than that itself. They've hung out with him in some capacity, and the judges were all over the place with these guesses, which always lulls me into a false sense of confidence that I've nailed who's gonna make it out of the episode.
I know it's so unfortunate. I think though the show has been doing a really good job, and maybe it's just because genuinely they have no idea who it is, But they've done a really good job of, we've had more contestants getting unmasked that have not been guests, I feel like, as of recently. Because the one that really stood out to me was, oh my God, who was that football player who was baby alien?
Oh,
what's his face? You know what I'm talking about.
The one that got like the viral moment was the butt moment.
Wait, what was the butt moment?
Isn't there a quarterback that like...
Oh, the butt fumble. Mark Sanchez. Yeah.
Yes,
is that
that's
him?
Who it okay. was, I think. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Oh my God. Can you imagine having your...
That's your legacy for the ones that aren't in the football know, like me.
Yeah. Like that's what you remember. Yeah. The butt fumble. Okay. So butt fumble aside, the... So anyway, so yeah, so Mark Sanchez, he's the only one that I very distinctly remember having absolutely no idea, the judges having no idea, and then being like gagged when he got unmasked. So, but that is, I think, much more unique. And even though, like I said, it's been happening more recently, I still felt so confident because they're usually pretty good about getting other reality TV contestants. So I was kind of surprised that no one had been able to figure out any connection to American Idol. But that being said, the clue packages didn't scream American Idol to me.
No, I wonder what the 1-4-1 is, because I remember the clue package that really sealed it for us was the first one. And that was because it sounded like they were competing against each other. And then I remember there being a number associated that I ended up finding was the finale for that season of American Idol that got us there.
I see. Yeah, I have no idea. Again, I thought it was 1-4-2. So obviously I was probably off, but I couldn't find any connection.
Or you were on the money and I was off. I'm not sure, to be honest.
It's tough to tell. I mean, okay, they're both parents. Like, that's easy. That's a good connection. What about the knight in shining armor?
Yeah, what was the knight about? I'm not sure.
Maybe it's just they do stuff at nighttime.
Like the like Broadway show?
Yeah, it's at night.
You are ridiculous.
But that was it. That was genuinely it in terms of clue packages for them. I think it's tough though, because it's like, well, we already kind of know who they are, so I don't really need an extensive clue package. But
yeah, sorry. I mean, our lives are fine. We've locked in our guests for a minute now. I think the most outrageous of the guesses for me would have been the Josh Groban and Brian McKnight guess from Ken.
Oh my God, I know, right? Especially because Brian McKnight's been guest a gajillion times, and he was on The Masked Dancer. Leave that man alone.
He was indeed on The Masked Dancer. He was.
Yeah, he was a cricket.
Yeah, well, they kept guessing him for decades, and then he ended up being on The Masked Dancer instead. It's so funny to me. You know, we talk about the judges doing a good job of like not having the guesses be there. But then Ken has guessed too correctly this season. The same person who's guessing outrageous stuff like this.
Yeah, it's hot and cold with him, right? Like it's either spot on the money or he's doing it for the lulz. I can understand that kind of mentality, that if you have an answer that you feel really good about, go for it. If you have no clue, just mess around.
Yeah. And we like a good mess around here, so we'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I rewatched the butt fumble. It's very funny. I feel bad for him though.
I mean, listen, no one wants that to be their legacy, but also it's better to be remembered than not remembered at all, unless, you know, it's problematic stuff.
Yeah, the top comment on the YouTube is, the coaches trained him well, taught him that if you run the ball, find a hole, and he did.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. All right, Leon, I would like to appeal that we switch over and talk about the seal.
Oh, I was thinking about a banana.
What? Oh, appeal.
Appeal.
Gotcha.
Because of banana. Is it just because it rhymes with seal?
100%.
Okay, let's peel off this wax and talk about the seal.
What?
You like that? Because a wax seal?
Oh, yeah. Baja blast.
Okay, Baja blast. Great. So the seal. we're continuing with the clue package with this whole, like, I was a bad boy, but it's just a misconception. I'm not actually a bad boy. And he talks about navigating the chilly waters of Hollywood and that it's been really tricky and blah, blah, blah. And then the visual clues are a zombie. It was all the same. Visual clues were zombie poster, a ship with a heart on it, a Friday on the calendar, like circled. It was specifically July 2024. I don't know if that matters, but the Friday, and not a specific Friday, just the word Friday, which I assume corresponds to every Friday. And that's all I have.
Yeah, this seemed to have given the judges a lot of confirmation based on the clues. I would have never gotten this right because I'm not really familiar with this person. And by that, I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm familiar with their body of work, but not the person themselves.
Right. Okay. So, okay. Well, are we going to talk about it?
Oh, we might as well, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, Corey Feldman, who ends up getting unmasked. So obviously I knew Corey Feldman from like his childhood days. And then because I had like seen stuff as a child. But then I will say most of the stuff that I knew about him is like he's a creepo.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if that's based in fact, but that's just like the vibe. Like whenever anybody talks about Corey Feldman, they're like, oh yeah, he's really creepy.
Well, that feeds into the clue package of like, I'm not a bad boy. I'm nice.
I'm not a bad boy. I'm not actually creepy. Yeah, I don't know. And then also, you know, I will say he did nothing to help his creepy behavior with being like all like hitting on the panel and stuff and the whole interaction with Jenny and Nicole.
Jenny McCarthy so defensive.
Rita. Yeah, that was really weird. That was really weird, right? She was like awkwardly trying to distance herself while still being semi-friendly. I felt it was very weird. Maybe it's just me like picking up weird vibes about
it. No, I don't think it's just you because I definitely felt the same way. I was like, Jenny, you're keep putting eyes on it. Like no one thought twice about this and we moved on.
Right. But I think that that's because if you know about him, like his reputation, then maybe you end up wanting like, you're like,
oh, you want nothing.
Really, Jenny? You know what I mean? And then Jenny's like, oh no, I'm just doing some myself kind of thing.
Yeah. It was like, because you're like, I was happily married. And everything's fine. I was like, this is not what is happening on this show?
Yeah. I don't, I am not well versed in this apart from just what I read on the internet, which is, I should say, not based in facts that I am particularly familiar with. Because I know he had the whole like sexual allegation thing where he like claimed that he was a survivor of sexual abuse. And the only thing I knew is that because so he was with Corey Haim, another like child actor at the time who
they were like a duo, right?
Yeah. And there was the allegation that, oh my God, who was it? Charlie Sheen, I think, had like inappropriately interacted with Corey Haim.
Wow.
But then it was like, but then there was like a documentary that was supposed to be released, but then never got released or something, or it was only shown once, but then I don't know. There's some weird controversy or something going on. So honestly, I'm not surprised they ended up on The Masked Singer because The Masked Singer is not ashamed or in any way shies
away from people
who are controversial. And even he, I would feel like, is not even as controversial as a lot of the people have been on the show, or at least is outwardly controversial. So we were kind of in the right range though, with some sort of child star, like washed up child star. Right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think we were in the same general area. I think it probably would have taken some more specific clues to have gotten for us probably to have gotten Corey Feldman. But I was happy. I mean, Jenny got the right guess pretty much right away after this.
Before we get into the judges' guesses, let's talk about this performance where I pretty much felt like, all right, the seal's throwing it. The seal's like done. The soundtrack to my life, the seal got up and said, I'm going to sing It's Tricky because of the misconceptions that I'm a bad boy.
See, also,
What?
What is it with, like, I feel like this happens a lot on The Masked Singer where people are like, I'm not actually a bad boy. They're trying to, like, write their.
Well, it's kind of like the place to go because it's one of those things where you know, for example, going back to the Monster, a little different, but T-Pain comes on the scene and it's more so proving that, hey, I can actually sing. The auto-tune stuff is just, I like doing that stuff, but I can actually sing. Mm-hmm. I feel like because you end up meeting the character first and you either fall in or out of love with the character before the unmasking, you're able to like switch some perception on you. And I feel like it's become a battleground for people. Some of these performers who come in are like, I have a bad image, but I swear I'm funny and nice and quirky. Mm-hmm. So. Right.
And then you can, I mean, I will say the Seal costume, very cute.
Yeah, no, very, 100%. Very cute. Cutest costume of the season.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so the performance. I still don't know the lyrics. Like, whenever, because I will sing along to this song, but even the chorus, I still don't know the lyrics. And after this, I still don't know them. There's something about the chorus of this song that I just can't like wrap my brain around. All I know is that it's tricky. It's tricky. And that's kind of what I heard from the Seal as well. But I will say, I think he did know the lyrics better than I did. And, you know, he got some fun backup dancers.
The backup dancers were the best part.
Strike. Yeah, they're good. Still here.
Mm-hmm.
Although mostly they were just carrying the cameras. I wanted maybe like more dancing, less camera choreography. But yeah, I mean, it was fun. It was fine. I did say it felt like, well, you're going out first. But that I also had that preconceived notion going into the episode anyway. So yeah, it's not like this did anything to change that.
Yeah, it was kind of like locked in that you're third. No, I feel the same way about this song. I'd like to think I can keep up with the lyrics, but it's tricky.
Okay, what are the but what are the lyrics for the chorus? Like, say them to me.
You missed my joke, so we have to move on legally now.
Wait, because it's tricky? That wasn't a joke. That doesn't count.
It does count. I was trying to keep up with the lyrics, but it's tricky.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Tricky, tricky, yeah, tricky, no, tricky.
No, but I mean the first line. I will start you. Okay, it's
tricky. You'll start me. It's tricky. Okay, then I'll go next. Tricky, 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 tricky.
Not that part. Not that part. Fine. You know what? What? Quiz over. You failed. I'll just tell you what the lyrics are.
I failed.
Yes.
You failed. Tricky.
No, I already admitted that I don't know the lyrics. Okay. That's not a surprise to anybody.
I can't blame you because it's tricky.
We get it. Okay, I'm just going to read it to you. Stop talking. It's tricky to rock a rhyme, that's right on time. If someone came up to me in the street and was like, I will give you $1 million if you can say what the first line is of the chorus of It's Tricky, I never would have been able to get that. That's a point I'm trying to make, okay?
Uh-huh.
So, what I guess I'm trying to say is that it's tricky. It's a callback to your joke.
Tricky, 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 tricky,
tricky, tricky, tricky.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's tricky to rock a rhyme, that's right on time. That is a tongue twister. I don't even know if I can do it now that I know the lyrics.
Yeah, I feel like the Seal failed the test of rocking a rhyme on time because to me, the Seal was constantly behind the pace of the song the entire way, which is never where you want to be in a situation like this.
Yeah, well, at least they have the cop out of the title of the song. So,
tricky, 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 tricky,
tricky, tricky.
So, like we said, the judge's extra clue was that Jenny was hosted by the Seal, and the implication was that the Seal has been hosted by Jenny, but has also hosted Jenny. Which
correct?
Yes. Jenny does interviews, so that's where they were hosted. And then correct. The Seal and Jenny have hung out, but this was when it was like, oh, whoa, relax. No, nothing like that, everybody. It's all cool. Right. But then also proceeded to say, yeah, it's Corey Feldman. I immediately knew who it was.
I went back because I was pretty sure that she had mentioned him last week as well. And sure enough, yeah, that was her first guest. Yeah. So I think she just sort of, she knew. But also when you've interviewed someone, you know, so many times, I believe was the actual clue, then that probably sinks in. Maybe he was memorable in some capacity.
Yeah, I would say so. I will say one of the guesses here was someone I would like to see on the show now. And that is Macaulay Culkin.
Yes, Macaulay Culkin. Yeah, we got. See, that's a. We also got some other stars of kind of sort of that era. Macaulay Culkin at the end, I believe. Haley Joel Osment was mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry O'Connell, who mentioned Rita, I think. Guess Jerry O'Connell. At,
yeah.
At the stage, I was like, he's so busy, but I think yeah. he would do it.
I did love the mention of, yeah, host of The Real Love Boat. I was like, oh, yeah, remember right. when that show was on the air for a yeah. little bit?
Yeah, remember when that happened?
What a rush. What a rush. But yeah, so the Seal performance was basically, and no offense meant, was basically the, all right, so you're going home. Let's see what the competitors are going to do here.
Right.
So we're going to take a quick break right here, and then we'll get back and we'll talk all about the Gumball. Stay with us.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. It's gumball time. Okay. Liana, can you run us through the gumball's clue package?
Well, maybe if you give me a quarter. Because it, you know, the gumball.
I don't think the gumball machine's a quarter anymore.
Really? How much does it cost for a gumball?
It's got to be like a buck now. It has to be.
No, no way. Those things are made out of plastic, I think. Like, it's not actual candy, so it's got to be pretty cheap to manufacture. All right, whatever. Next time we're at a place that has gumballs, where would we even find a gumball machine these days?
I feel like
grocery store?
They're still there at, like, the tail end of a Walmart, like, when you're walking out and stuff, probably.
Okay, we'll check. Next time you're playing the claw machine, I'll look for the gumballs.
All right, deal.
All right. So the Gumball's clue package is going back to his insecurity. Maybe I just don't belong here, and always kind of felt like he was pretending to be something that he wasn't. And then that kind of fits into his backstory about when he was a child, because he moved around a lot as a kid and would do anything to fit in and always felt out of place. In addition to that, has no formal training. I don't know if that refers to acting, singing, neither, like maybe he just has like genuinely zero formal training for anything. And then some of the visual clues were a car with an X on the hood and a football.
Yes, I wrote the same things down as well. The X or X factor, the football, and then mentioning that the judges were like, oh, he's an introvert. I see that. I can understand that. So then we go from the clue package, this very insecure clue package, to arguably the best performance of the night.
Yeah. It was really good.
Yes.
So he does Carry On My Wayward Son by Kansas, which I think is in either a rock band or a...
It was in Guitar Hero because that was the song that they used in the South Park episode.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So that's a difficult... I mean, it's
talk about a hard song. It's also a hard song.
Correct. But also there's a lot of it that's in a really super solid vocal range that I think fit him as well. And I don't know if I need to go back and watch his first performance, because maybe he just feels more comfortable. I don't know what the deal is, but he absolutely nailed it. I thought it was a good song choice for him. The backup dancers were fine. Were they supposed to be Golden Records?
I think so.
It was the same for the Beats. They had the same costume for the Beats. But yeah, but it wasn't too distracting. Like, it was a dark gold, so it didn't sort of stand out. And he really was the focus. And I think he absolutely nailed it. It was amazing. He stuck the performance. like gum sticky.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Like past tense of stick.
Yeah. Stuck. Like gum is sticky. So it's stuck.
I see. Gotcha. Gotcha. Paul. Gotcha. Gotcha.
You're welcome. Yep.
I wish I didn't gotcha, but I gotcha. Okay. So I thought it was really good. I thought it was a really good performance. It was at this point that I thought, okay, there could be some shenanigans about. We could end up getting the gumball upsetting the Beats. This is where I started mentally preparing of a reality where that could happen. And it sounds like I have a vested interest. It's because I do. Because in our draft, Liana had the gumball. I had the Beats. I had everybody else in this group. And I thought, okay, I've got a solid finalist here. No worries. We're fine. Mm-hmm. But here, this is where I started feeling like, I don't know if that's going to happen.
So that's interesting, because I still thought the Beats was better at this point in the episode. And maybe it's just because I think that the Whitney Houston song is harder to do. And especially for them as a duo, I think it presents an additional challenge to figure out all the harmonies and to be able to do that well. So in my head, I think that I had put the Beats above the gumball, but I think that it was obviously the gumball had beat the seal and that those two were going to go to the battle royale.
Right. Yeah. No, I felt, here's the thing. I felt good about the Beats still.
Yeah.
But the thing that was making me feel a little bit like, okay, I can see this happening, is because I've been hurt before. The Masked Singer has given me who I don't want to make it through, make it through. Mm-hmm. And because I'm rooting for the Beats, I was like, okay, let me mentally prepare for the world where I don't have the Beats in the final, because that could happen.
Right. Yeah. So like the low expectations, let me prepare for the worst outcome. Not worst outcome, but your non-ideal outcome.
Precisely. Yes.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so gumball. What else do we get from the gumball? Oh, yes. Well, Ken, I think, agrees with you by saying that it was the best performance of the evening, which was the first moment that the little hairs stood up on the back of my neck. I went, because we have seen this before where sometimes contestants will get, oh, you're definitely making it to the finals, or comments like that. And I'm like, okay, y'all are supposed to be impartial somehow. I don't know. They're like the Supreme Court of Masked Singer. Like, you're not supposed to say that until the end, you know? So that was a little bit, especially because I was really rooting for the Beats. I was very excited about the Beats. But okay, credit where credit is due. And not only does Ken think it's the best performance of the evening, but Ken is also the one with the connection to the gumball. So again, this is another situation where I wasn't 100% sure exactly what the clue piece was, but the sleeve said stick it. I wrote down stick and sweet, but that can't
be right. Sticky and sweet.
Okay. Sticky and sweet, Ken's greatest hits. And then on the inside, it was Kenspiration. And the verbal clue was, one of the funniest jobs I've ever been a part of, you were involved too. And the you referring to Ken.
Yeah. Which then Ken ends up guessing James Marsden because Liana.
Yes.
Who would have thought this would be a important movie for this season? Because of My Little Pony.
Oh my God, I know, right? I genuinely got excited. I was like, oh my God, I've seen that. What a good movie. Yeah, so who'd have thought the canon event for this season of The Masked Singer turns out to be My Little Pony, both Vanessa Hudgens and James Marsden getting referenced. Although I do not believe that it's James Marsden in
this
particular costume. And we've talked about this. We can see how some of the clues might fit our more recent guess. But yes, that did make me laugh that My Little Pony, A New Generation has gotten so many references on this season of The Masked Singer. I think the other guess is, well, Zachary Levi from Robin, but then Jack Black from Rita, which I out loud guffawed to. Could you imagine? First of all, I would love if Jack Black were to ever come to the show. He's just weird enough that he could potentially end up doing it. Obviously, he's at this moment, I believe, too successful, but you never know. He could just show up. Like, he did Thank Miss. Jacksepticeyes, like,
yeah, the YouTube site. He's a celebrity that's never shied away from doing YouTube and like content like that, which is not really Hollywood per se,
right? So obviously maybe this doesn't fit under that, but in my head it's almost like these are sort of the off the beaten path kind of appearances that I wouldn't expect from someone of his fame level. So you never know. He might just be like, yeah, just look fun. And like, I wanted to show up. Oh my God. Him and Kyle Gass from Tenacious D would be so, so, so fun.
As anyway, a duo? Pick him because this show doesn't respect duos or trios.
Right. Oh my God. But can you imagine, how did they lose? How would Tenacious D lose? That's just like a slap in the face to music. That just feels like such an insult. I couldn't even imagine. Anyway, whatever. So obviously it's not him. So I think we need to go back to Football Boy. What was the show? The Friday Night Lights.
Yes.
Yes.
Are you ready to look at Friday Night Lights now?
I saw the football. Puya football.
Listen, one thing they say about Puya, dude's clinical.
Is that what they say? Who's that?
They do. They call him Captain Clutch.
I think only you call yourself Captain Clutch.
It's Captain, not Captain.
Oh, sorry. Do you and Captain Crunch share a... Yeah.
No, some of us crunch, title. Some of us clutch. It's two different worlds.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. General Clutch.
That is not my title. You will be invoiced for that mistake. Okay.
Maybe you'll get demoted to Private Clutch.
You're being mean for no reason, and I want to know why.
Admiral Clutch on the seas. I actually don't know anything about the military. That's all I know.
Yeah, I don't either. I kind of got Captain from the cereal box. And I know that a captain is a leader. So that's all I have going on.
President Clutch. Okay, so tell me about your Friday Night Lights theory. Who's the guy again? I couldn't remember. Kyle Chandler?
No, I don't think it's Kyle Chandler. Let me hit you with this, okay?
Hit me, clutchy boy.
Okay, relax. Relax, I say. Okay, so in order to do this, we got to look at the cast, okay? And there are a couple of people in this cast. The star quarterback in the show is Scott Porter. Okay. So Scott Porter has starred alongside... Oh, he's been in a movie called Band Slam with Vanessa Hudgens. Interesting.
Oh, so, that's funny.
Yeah, well, it's funny because James Marsden and Vanessa Hudgens were in that movie. But if it's this guy, he's also got a link to Vanessa Hudgens. He's done some voice acting for different superhero projects. I want to go to the personal life. Okay, so let's see. Okay, so April 2013, he married casting director Kelsey Mayfield, whom he met on Friday Night Lights. They gave birth to their son, McCoy Lee, their daughter, Clover Ash, in 2017. Okay, he's also known for promoting HeroClix, a tabletop. Okay, this doesn't matter to me. Okay, there we go. Could be him.
Okay.
Could be
him.
So
what's the connection with Ken?
That is a great question. Let's look at his filmography. Was he the one that had a link to Channing Tatum?
Okay, let me look. I have the ones from last week pulled up.
Oh, yeah, pull it up.
Yes.
Pull it up.
Don't you wish you could have starred with Channing Tatum like me?
Okay, so the clue from he was in week. The movie Dear John. Which Channing Tatum was also in.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So there's a connection. I can't find the Ken Jeong connection though. I googled James. Oh no.
You looked at James Marsden?
No.
You looked at a different actor?
Scott Porter, Ken Jeong. I don't see anything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know all of Ken's body of work. So I'm not sure. Because what was the exact thing that was said here?
It says that the Kenspiration, one of the funniest jobs I've ever been a part of, you were involved too. That's kind of a weird, distancing set of phrases.
It doesn't necessarily mean, it could be like they both made appearances in a show as guest stars on separate seasons type of thing to me.
Well, they were also both on The Masked Singer. So.
Okay, well, that doesn't count, obviously.
Okay.
Obviously.
Pretty Kenspirational.
Can you go to your notes and look at last week's clue package and what was the things he was talking about?
You bet your bottom dollar I can. All right, let's see. He was talking about his wife and that everything was perfect until she was diagnosed with a disease that will impact her later in life. There was a moonlight thing, like a crescent moon. There was a globe, and then he was bowling with the globe. And remember, because we talked about bowling for Earth, nonstop bowling for soup, and then a prom king with a sash on him. That's how you got to Friday Night Lights, was because of the prom king thing.
So Scott Porter's wife, Kelsey Mayfield, had Huntington's disease.
Has Huntington's, right?
This says
she's
it
not,
in
she's
past.
She's alive, right?
Yes. Oh, it says Scott's wife is battling with this disease, and yet she lives a perfectly normal life. For some reason, they past tense it in the first sentence. But yes.
Yeah. Okay, so I mean, that fits.
That fits. That, I could see that being the case. I feel like if your thing is football, if we're really looking at Friday Night Lights, it has to be him because he's the star quarterback in the show.
Right. And he was probably prom king. Because isn't that how high school works? That the
that's how TV would have you believe it. Yep.
Right. Exactly. That's what I mean. Not IRL, obviously. All right. Well, did he? Let's see. What about anything with a spider? That was from the first week. He had a visual
superhero
clue
movie. He's done superhero voice work.
Ah, okay. Where was he born?
He was born in.
Because there was something about him loving the South, like Mississippi.
He grew up in
Louisiana,
Winter Park,
Alabama.
Florida.
Oh, okay. I don't think that was included. Maybe where was Friday Night Lights staged?
Friday Night Lights was staged in Dillon, Texas.
Set. Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's all right. Look, we've gotten guesses from Les, so I'm willing to go along with you on this one.
I mean, you're saying that like I'm very confident. I've never watched Friday Night Lights, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it sounds pretty gum believable to me.
Boo. Boo, Boris. Boo.
I'm pretty sure that was a Robin.
Imagine thinking you have the gumption to make this joke.
Oh, best believe I do. I couldn't think of anything.
You're out of words. Of all right, one. Cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, they're, what else do you know about gumballs? They're round, they're hard, they make your jaw hurt. What else? We think they cost a quarter, but we're not entirely sure.
So we shall move on then. And we'll talk about the first unmasking of the night, which does indeed end up being Seal. Seal gets unmasked here. We had two guesses for Corey Feldman from Jenny and Robin. Mm-hmm. We had a Jerry O'Connell from Rita and a Harry Joel Osment from Ken. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, Jenny and Robin, both correct. It is indeed Corey Feldman.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. He seemed happy to be here.
Yeah.
He left people with the chase your dreams.
Yeah. Follow your dreams, baby.
Yeah. Be happy. Good for you.
All right. Bye, Seal.
All right. Sealed and delivered to the exit. Mm-hmm. Corey Feldman's out. So then we get the battle royale. Okay. And the song choice, it's what is it? Time of My Life?
Yes. I've had the time of my life.
Yes.
Yes. So, okay. I don't know. I don't know where to begin with this.
Wherever you want.
Beats Go First. They're so cute. They're so good together. Loved it. Did the gumball get backup dancers?
Yep, the gumball got backup dancers. The okay. Beach did not have that. Yeah, I did write that down.
Felt a little bit of favoritism, not going to lie.
Just a little.
Gagged. Also, very good. Very close, I thought, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm watching this thinking, well, the beats. I mean, it's got to be the beats. It's not the beats. It's the gumball. He rolls his way into the quarterfinals.
I think for me, the backup, I think there was more of a production for the gumball for sure. Okay. But also, I felt like the gumball had impeccable stage presence, was kind of traveling around the stage quite a bit. The beats kind of stuck in their own side. I'm like, there's two of you. Take over.
I know. I rewatched it to try to not justify, but like, okay, now that I know the outcome, like, let me try to be impartial about it.
Or yeah.
As impartial as I could be. And I do think that he won it. The gumball won it. And I do think that the show, although I don't personally agree, I think they should have still chosen the beats just because I'm personally rooting for the beats. The gumball was a correct choice and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I think the gumball earned this ultimately. Again, against all odds, because I feel like this was the beats to lose, and takes out the beats, and the beats are now out. But then gumball proceeds to go to the final four, which...
Final four. Yeah.
Yeah, which... Spoiler alert, the final four consists of 3 Liana masks and 1 Puya mask. And mine happens to be the one that Ding Dong kept it on with the poodle moth. Which, by the way, this is how flawed your awful twist is. Because the Beats 100% should have been the ones that got Ding Dong.
I completely agree. I was so mad. I was like, you should have saved it. You should have used it on the Beats. I'm really upset about this. I think also because... This brings up maybe a broader point about how I'm feeling with reality TV in general, because we're sort of in this era of bringing back former reality TV contestants to all these different shows, right? We have House of Villains, we have Traitors, we see it here on The Masked Singer, The Goat. Yeah, there's all of these shows that, even The Challenge, right? Bringing back people. Mm-hmm. Anyway, whatever. The point is that it feels like we're in this era of bringing back people who at the time of peak popularity were feeling untouchable, right? Like we're so iconic and so popular and so famous, at least in that particular niche, that now to have them back on shows like this is so surreal to me because Ruben Studdard and Clay Aiken are just one example of this, but Mike Bloom did that. He's been doing exit press for this season of The Masked Singer, and he interviewed the two of them. And it's something so weird to me about the fact, and awesome about the fact, that Mike Bloom got to interview those two, or you getting to interview Sandra, or, you know, it's so cool that we're in this era where these people who just felt like there was no way I would ever be in proximity to them now feels like somehow closer to me in this way. And
the degrees of separation are so small now.
Yeah, like Mike Bloom got to talk to Ruben Studdard and Clay Aiken. Like, what even is my life? I'm in no way involved, but I still feel like it's so cool to have that happen. So I think that there was some sort of nostalgic, emotional connection to the beats that I just really felt like deep in my soul. And that's why I was just personally rooting for them, even though I do think Gumball freaking brought it and has been bringing it from the get-go and probably didn't deserve to be against the Afghan in that very first like battle royale anyway. So, you know, it's I'm sad that they're not moving on, but I'm also just happy to be in this era where I can appreciate these reality TV icons being back on my television screen in any capacity, and I'm just very grateful and thankful for that.
Right. No, I 100% agree with you. It's fun, but I will also say the other side of the coin is I feel like moving forward, legally, you can't bring someone who's been on a singing competition anymore if you're going to get rid of them so in such
the genuine disrespect for every American Idol contestant that has been on the show. I don't get it. Like, what did they do to you? Was there a feud or something where the Masked Singer producers were like, I'm bringing back every American Idol contestant I can find and I'm making sure they lose?
Honestly,
don't get it.
Yeah, they've secured nothing but L's for what feels like ever here on the Masked Singer. But yes. Also, these two were on good spirits, so I'm very happy to see that. They were happy to be there. They had a good time.
You could put Kelly Clarkson on this show, and she goes home fourth. Like, I'm telling you, there's something about this. But I will say, so I did, again, shout out Mike Bloom, read the exit press from him, the interview. And I guess they were shocked to be eliminated. Like, they did think that they would probably go further. But also, there was going to be no break in their schedule between their tour. Mm-hmm. And I guess they were going to Alaska or something like that. So Clay Aiken at least seemed to be like okay with the fact that they got eliminated, because they got a little bit of downtime before they went on their tour. So I'm just really happy for them. I'm rooting for them. They were so cute. And when they got unmasked in their little costume, it just, yeah, very nostalgic, very emotional for me.
I mean, I think ultimately for me, the key to this show isn't the winning. It's the reminding the people of your work and having them check it out.
Yes.
I feel like you are someone who's very susceptible to this. When we had yes. Jesse McCartney on the show, you listened to nothing but Jesse McCartney for a year. So
yes,
this and is definitely one of those.
Listen to Jesse McCartney recently and realize that he has a song with none other than Young Gravy of all
wild,
people.
Which wild was, stuff.
It so I was walking into Home Depot and the song starts playing and I almost like ran into one of the people working there because
you're
I was
in your construction
so,
era.
I'm in my kids. Oh my God. Yes. I'm in my construction era. And I was shocked. I was like, what is even happening right now? So the fact that someone who was so popular when we were young can then come back and release a song with meme gravy of all people just feels like a weird, bizarro universe that we live in. So yeah, I'm really happy for Clay Aiken and Ruben Studdard. I hope that they can amass some success based on this and that, you know, losing is the new winning.
Yeah. And I think the extra W for me is when the judges do not guess you. And the judges failed mm-hmm. on figuring out the beats. We had Dan and Shay from Robin. We had the most bizarre guest for me, which was Jesse Tyler Ferguson and Eric Stonestreet from Modern Family from Jenny.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
What is happening here? Then we had Casey and JoJo from Ken, and then CeeLo Green and Danger Mouse from Rita.
Yeah, also weird guess. I'm like, yeah. What is giving CeeLo Green about this?
Right. Like you'd be able to tell. You'd be able yeah. to tell with one of the high notes if it's CeeLo.
I mean, he did already, didn't he do the UK version? So he's at least sort of in the Masked Singer family. Yeah, he was the monster. Okay. Remember, wasn't he that big?
That's extra funny to me because was Rita the judge that year?
I think so. That's what
then
I'm
she
saying.
Has no excuse for making this guess.
Yeah, he was the UK monster on
yeah,
the Masked Singer season one, which I was.
Oh, maybe Rita wasn't the judge then.
Maybe she wasn't.
Not sure. Okay. Well, that's what we have for you here. That's everybody. We got them all. And we now move into next week. Liana, what's the theme for next week? Do we know?
The quarterfinals.
It's just that there's no theme.
I have absolutely no idea. According to Wikipedia, it's just the quarterfinals. So, and I don't think Nick said anything about it either at the very end of the episode. So,
okay,
I think we're just going into the quarterfinals.
All right.
Maybe by the way, yes, Rita Ora was the panelist of
okay so she has no excuse gotcha yeah. noted
yeah
okay well Liana, this was fun. Let the people know, where can they find you? What are the projects you have going on aside from, of course, the Masked Singer?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. I am podcasting about Survivor, Avi. We've been having some gag-worthy episodes. I'm in my destruction era, thank you Liz, eating Applebee's over here. So we did a really, really fun survey, which is out on my Twitter right now, although probably by the time you're listening to this, it might be closed. But we have had so many responses. I'm so excited. We're going to go through it on Monday when we record. And then Drag Race is taking a break right now, but we'll be back on the 17th for All-Star Season 9.
Perfect. Thank you so much for that, Liana. Y'all can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You found me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. That's where I am when I'm not podcasting. And boy, oh boy, have I been podcasting, because this was probably my busiest week I've had since The Traitors with podcasting. A 90 Day Fiance with Kirsten. That was a very fun podcast. Double Dutied with MILF Manor, a new show that I'm covering right now. So I've talked about the premiere episode of MILF Manor. The episode 2 will be dropping this week as well, so you can check that out over there. Probably the most unhinged podcast that I do now. And then also, I did my final BB Can recap of the season, so that's done. And I've been talking The Circle on a weekly basis with Taryn and Mike over on the network as well. So you can check out my thoughts over there. It's been a very fun Circle season. Definitely recommend if you have the time to check it out, which I think that ticks off all of the boxes. I feel like I'm missing a podcast, and I'm going to then later be like, what happened? I forgot about this. Oh, the podcast, the drafters for the Survivor pod, speaking of Survivor, we checked in with each other and kind of talked about our draft picks and where the season's gone. That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed myself kind of as a bystander, some beefs going on there. So you can check that out. And next week, I'm going to be in Chicago for the live event, which means that the podcast might be coming to your feed late. The Masked Singer will, but fear not, it will be there. We will talk about it. Let's see if we're outraged or excited about the results of the, I believe, quarterfinals. Nailed it. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. We hope you have a good week ahead of you. Until next episode, take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know what I can't see. Who's under there?
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They're also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.